The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are two common errors that happen when people are thinking about the devil and other evil powers. A person can either think too highly of these enemies and have an exaggerated response to them, or a person can think too little of them, as though no response were needed at all. Those who think too highly of the devil and demons and other evil things can get carried away. They often want to know more about these things than what the Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't speak that much about such things, and certainly the Bible never explains how these things work, which is certainly one of the things that people are curious about. They get an intense desire to understand what has not been revealed, and it's not like they are totally impious in doing that. The thought is that if we can understand how these things work, then we can take reasonable actions against them. It is also rather exciting to see the world as a drama where the devil and the demons take center stage. How might they be involved in the top echelons of power? What do the world leaders do behind closed doors? Knowing or learning about such secrets is very interesting and exciting. But that is the very reason why we need to have our guard up concerning such things. Our flesh is easily bored. Grand narratives involving secret powers can attract us like a moth to the flame. But the flesh profits nothing. Being fascinated by such things doesn't enable anybody to actually do anything against them. The only way to overcome evil is by the new creation in Jesus. Oddly enough, becoming fascinated with secret knowledge about spiritual evils might be part of their very own strategy. What harm does it do them if people get whipped up about them, but are completely powerless to defeat or hamper them? So one of the errors when it comes to fighting the devil and other evil powers is that a person gets carried away with movie-like conspiracies and explanations. This is not so common an error among Lutherans. Pentecostal-like groups are much more likely to fall into this. Among Lutherans, the practically opposite error, is much more common. We are prone to believe that such things do not exist. Or perhaps we believe that they exist on paper, but we are prone to act as though such things do not matter. They have no impact on our life. Of the two errors, this second one is worse. It betrays a rank, unbelieving, secular outlook. According to this outlook, life is nothing more, nothing less than making do and trying to have a good time. God doesn't matter. the devil, doesn't matter. What matters is me, my paycheck, my fun, my memories. To such a person, Paul's statement that we wrestle with evil spiritual powers is backward pre-enlightenment superstition. It is as though somewhere along the line some smart people discovered that neither God nor the devil exist, but this has never been discovered and never proven. It has only been assumed and then thoughts added on top of it. And as an assumption, it's really not that impressive or original. You can trace this assumption back all the way to the first human beings who became convinced in their heart that there is no God, so they might as well do whatever it was that they felt like doing. So it is no good to believe that the devil and demons do not exist and have no impact on our life. It is also bad to go overboard about these enemies of God. So if both of these alternatives are bad, how should we think about them and counter them? We're given some practical and sober things to think about with our epistle reading today, Paul's letters to the Christians at Ephesus. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness that is given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, the first thing that I'd like you to notice about this, about these words is actually the very first word, which is "finally." These words are actually a conclusion to his letter, but also to things that he's been speaking about just immediately prior in this letter. And I think that this context is very important for having a proper attitude toward these spiritual forces. Immediately prior to where our gospel reading picks up, the apostle is speaking about the various callings in life that a Christian might have. So he speaks at length about the proper relationship between husbands and wives. Husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. He tells children that they should be obedient to their parents. Those who honor their parents will have a long, enjoyable life full of good things. Employees should be submissive and helpful to their employers. They should work not as though it were just about making a buck, but as though they were serving the Lord. And employers should act similarly towards their employees. They should not be abusive. They're cut from the same cloth as their workers, and God is not a respecter of persons. That is where he says after that, "finally," and our reading today. Think about the realms of life that Paul is talking about here. What could be more practical and immediately relevant? Whom do you associate with from one day to the next? Is not all of these relationships that Paul lays out here something that is the things that we encounter every day? He's talking about the people that you live with in your house and the people that you work with every day. These are the people who take up the vast majority of our life. And we as Christians are to fill these callings with submission toward one another, with love, and with honor. It is after saying all these things that Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, fight against the devil and all the evil spirits. So where do the devil and the evil spirits do their work? They work within these ordinary callings. They do not want us to be loving toward the people who live with us. They do not want us to be cheerful and helpful at work. They want us to grumble and complain. They want us to treat each other badly so that we isolate from one another. They want us to heap up sins in our daily way of life so that we bring down God's wrath upon ourselves and upon our nation. In order to combat this, we must put on the full armor of God. Notice that all the pieces of armor come from God. They do not come from you. It won't work just to try harder. We must receive what God gives in order to be at all effective. Gird your loins with the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace, with the readiness that's given by that gospel, being forgiven, forgiving, and moving forward. Take up the shield of faith. And here Paul is not talking about one of those little circular ones. He's talking about one of those great big ones, shaped like a door, covering the whole body. The devil can do nothing against the one who continues to believe. Have your mind encased on salvation like a helmet. The only offensive weapon here is a dagger, which is the word of God. Armor brings to nothing the assaults of the enemy who is trying to bring about your demise. And the devil and the evil spirits want to destroy your faith, hope, and love. Generally speaking, they do not go at us with visions or apparitions or dramatic possessions and so on. Can they do such things? Certainly. But it is far more effective for them to sow hatred wherever they can. People do not think that hatred comes from evil spirits. They think that it comes from the other person being such a despicable specimen of the human race. It is within our homes and within our workplaces, those places in our life where we spend 90% of our time. That is where we must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The focus, therefore, with the devil and the demons is not some vast, grand conspiracy. It is not on the Skull and Bone Society, the Illuminati, or other secret clubs. Can these things be full of occult and evil activity? Certainly. And I believe that they are evil and occult. Furthermore, can the devil and the demons be active in the top positions of power? Certainly. If I were preaching to senators and presidents, that might be something worthwhile taking up, but I don't see any presidents here today. What I do see are people who have families, jobs, and other important relationships. We all have enough to handle just with that, looking after ourselves. We don't need to get involved in grand narratives where the villain is always black as coal and always someone else and never myself. In our callings in life, we must take seriously the schemes of the devil, the principalities, the cosmic forces at work in this present age of darkness. We must not think, for example, that everything can be explained simply by brain chemicals or hormones. Nor is it a purely natural sociological matter of getting along or not getting along. The front lines of your battle as a Christian are in your living room, at your kitchen table, and in your bedroom. They are on your work floor and in the break room. In these places, we are to be salt and light. Those around us should see the good works that God works in us by His Holy Spirit and thus glorify God. It is very easy to be misled into thinking that only the big stuff matters. Only the people sitting in the halls of power matter. But it is actually the other way around. The only reason a government exists is for the sake of the lives that we live every day. The government is God's gift so that our daily life may continue to go on in relative peace. Life is not for the purpose of having a government. The government exists for the sake of everybody's home life. It is our home life that is primary. Furthermore, when God judges and punishes, it is not just for the serial murderers or the devil worshippers or other monsters. It's for the sharp words, the sharp looks, the hatreds, the little disobediences that have the power to make a home life miserable. So when you think of the devil and the demons, do not think that they are somewhere else with seances, baby's blood, and other esoteric practices. Are the devil and the demons involved in such things? I have no doubt about that, and you should have absolutely nothing to do with such things. But the devil and the demons are closer than you think. The enemy is in your daily life. Your daily life matters a great deal. There is more than one way to skin a cat, and the devil knows that too. Our faith can be attacked through the front door, through the back door, through the window. The evil forces do not act the way that people expect them to, with dramatic fanfares and blood-soaked rituals. They know how important our daily life is. What they'd like is for us to leave our armor in the closet, thinking that our enemies are somewhere else, in Washington or Geneva or wherever. So fight the good fight in your daily life. Be strengthened in the knowledge of God's love toward you in Christ. That is the truth. Put on God's righteousness and God's salvation. The closer these things are fastened upon you, the better. They are your life and they are your destiny. Stand against the devil in the evil day when you're tempted to be angry, disobedient, lazy, or selfish. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil, and there is no more important place for the devil's works to be destroyed than in our daily life. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.